Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Empty Bowl, a breakfast oasis, a meditative show about cereal. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy, and I am joined, as always, by the creator and editor-in-chief of Cerealously, Dan Goubert.
Hello, hello.
Dan is a cereal expert. Do you think that's fair, Dan?
Well, I guess by most conventional metrics, you would say that. If we're looking at sort of the blogosphere and the digital pantheon of cereal experts, I'm definitely high up there. If you type in cereal blogs, that's probably my number one claim to fame is being number one. So I guess that's as good of credentials as any.
That passes in my book. We wanted to make a podcast. This is a podcast that is exclusively about cereal, not the murder mystery, which is why we couldn't put cereal in the title because it's just too much.
We wouldn't even be the first ones to think of that anyway.
No, so we'd be like the eighth or ninth ones. I looked up cereal podcasts. Actually, when we were starting talking about this, there was like a few parodies of cereal, and they bailed after like three or four episodes. Like, you cowards, stay with it.
Weak.
Keep up your lame half joke that cereal we almost did also.
In vogue. So
there you go. So this is also kind of a, we wanted to also make this kind of a, we say meditative. It sounds a little highfalutin, I guess I should say. What the intent of that is, basically, just to have a place where you can relax. When you listen to this show, it's going to be soothing. We've got some relaxing music. We got some relaxing conversation about cereal. And that's it. So it's a place where you can sit down. You can relax. Close your eyes if you like. That may be a bit much, but why not? Go for it. And we're just going to talk about cereal. And your only job for the next however many minutes is just to breathe and think about cereal. That's it. So, Dan, what is new in the world of cereal?
Well, it may only be August. I think it's about August. Yep, I see it.
Yeah,
it's August.
It's like a week into August.
You know, but we're already getting into the fall cereals. They always start early. The 1st of August has historically been, you know, the announcement date, unofficially, of the General Mills Monster cereals for probably everyone who was once a child. I know I was. You probably remember Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Boo Berry, and they come back every year. Everybody always wants them around all the time, but it's pretty easy to see why scarcity makes them more appealing, especially when you consider the thematic evolution that tends to happen every year with them.
Now, was there some buzz that maybe we were going to get the Yummy Mummy and Fruit Brute, that they might be back?
Oh, yes. Well, I know we said this was going to be a soothing podcast, but this is kind of a dour note to start on. That it was like a month ago now that we found online through like some board game fandom website that General Mills was releasing a Monster Cereal card game with some convoluted game about building your breakfast and earning milk tokens and all this random jargon. But it wasn't really about the game that got people excited. It was that on the box, there were new drawings of all five monsters, including Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy, who, if you don't remember, were respectively introduced for just a few years during the 70s and 80s. And Fruit Brute is a werewolf, if you couldn't tell from his name, and he had sort of, well, they both had the same cereal structure as Count Chocula, etc. and company. But instead of having chocolate, strawberry, or blueberry-flavored pieces, Fruit Brute had cherry and orange, or Yummy Mummy used to have vanilla, but now, in recent years, he's adopted sort of an orange flavor. So we were kind of hoping for the...
I like your personification of Yummy Mummy as though he is a mummy who is making decisions about what flavor marbits he's going to be putting into his cereal each year.
Well, I mean, you can't just be vanilla all your life. You got to step
That's
up
true.
Your game eventually. And how many orange cereals have you actually seen out there? I agree that it was probably a good decision. And he's probably had thousands of years to think about it. So
that's true. That's a good
being
point.
A mummy and all. But I digress from the actual news story at hand. That we saw this card game, we saw these new designs, and it was like, all right, that's got to be it. That's probably how they're gonna look on boxes too, because it looks pretty damn cool. They look kind of like if you look up the Monster Crunch is what it's called. If you look up the board game, they kind of look like new vintage newspaper cartoons, almost like paper cutouts that were layered in a very ornate fashion. But and then Target especially was the store that was pushing even more Monster merchandise from there. It started with a board game. It evolved into we saw pint glasses, I believe, as well as puzzles, all featuring all five monsters. So the hype was there. And 2018 is also the 5-year anniversary of 2013, which was the first time that Fruit Fruit and Yummy Bummy were brought back from the 20th century into the 21st.
Okay.
So the stars were aligning, and we all expected big things, but then the announcement came on August 1st that the board game was pretty much the only new thing about the Monster cereals this year. The box art and concept is the same as last year, where it's basically just the cereal with monster marshmallows that are shaped like amorphous ghosts and Frankenstein's head after concussive damage and stuff like that.
But they are coming back. Like, that's at least we've got that. We have the original three will be with us, and Yummy Mummy and Fruit Brute will be here in spirit, I guess, technically. Well,
the real fun comes from how Kellogg's kind of alley-ooped General Mills on this one with their own Halloween cereals that debuted under a week after.
Oh, tell me about it.
So, in previous years, alongside the more exciting, typically monster cereals, Kellogg's has been releasing Apple Jacks, Fruit Loops, and Chocolate Frosted Flakes, all with skeleton-shaped marshmallows.
I just feel like you can't just add marshmallows into a cereal. This is my opinion. I don't think you can put marshmallows in everything. I think the Marbits with flakes is like a weird combination for me.
Yeah, it's kind of like nuts and gum together at last, but nobody really asked for
it. It's like nuts and gum, yes.
But I was still kind of won over by these skeleton marshmallows because they're like neon orange and white, and there's like different rib cage pieces and humeruses that you can just stick together to make your own skeleton marshmallow art and make just triple-headed Tyrannosaurus bone demons for breakfast. And that piqued my curiosity from the very start. But they brought them back this year and really stepped their game up and kind of just impressed the hell out of me. So if you look at the box art, you can look on my website or just look up these cereals individually on Google, I guess. Tony the Tiger is decked out in this full Bela Lugosi Dracula outfit. Toucan Sam is wearing a werewolf costume. The Apple Jacks, Cinnamon Stick, and Apple are dressed as mummies. And those skeleton-shaped marshmallows are now shaped like a bat, a Frankenstein, and a ghost. Kind of sounds a little bit familiar to me if you think about it altogether, right?
Yeah, and I believe, Dan, it's called Frankenstein's Marshmallow. The I gotta say, I'm looking at these pictures on serialistly.net currently. Tony's vest is reading a little bit like old-timey movie usher to me. It's not terribly spooky.
Well, they probably went to just Party City or something.
Yeah,
I know.
That's right.
Costume that they could find.
It's just for a few months. You don't want to blow the whole budget on that.
Well, if you see it as a reaction to what General Mills did and how they kind of disappointed us, they probably didn't have much time to invest in a wardrobe, but they really got their point across because when General Mills didn't really do anything, this is a major upgrade that kind of like throws shade at them by taking their famous monsters and showing what a real evolution looks like.
Yeah, they really showed them. Right, they took them to
task.
Got them good.
I'm sure that multi-billion-dollar company really has egg on their face now.
You have any other news?
Well, Tony didn't really stop there. Tony the Tiger, that is. Yeah, his like I said, it's only August, but pumpkin spice frosted flakes are already allegedly hitting shelves across the country.
It's too much.
I've hoped for like 3 years now that pumpkin spice would just quietly die and give rise to a more exciting autumn flavor, like caramel apple cereal.
Salted caramel, is the logical. Not enough salty cereals out there, Dan.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame. Not enough pecan pie cereals.
Oh, wow.
Not enough. I was going to say circus peanut flavored cereal, but I guess I'm the only one who likes that Halloween candy.
You know, that was the start of a Marbits were started from. I've heard this. This may be apocryphal, but the head of General Mills at the time found some old circus peanuts in his desk drawer and cut them up and put them in cereal. And that was the invention of Marbits. I've heard this. I don't actually know if that's technically
sounds like
true.
A campfire ghost story to me.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, you hate circus peanuts. Well, you eat them every morning.
Dun, dun, dun.
What a twist. But anyway, pumpkin spice frosted flakes. It's just a lot. I don't know how many people still get too excited about pumpkin spice. I'm obviously still going to buy and eat several boxes just for the sake of research. Mostly because Frosted Flakes has been doing really good with their cinnamon variety. It's really spot on how they like work the spice into the glaze rather than just powdering it on. So if there's anyone who can do pumpkin spice right, it's probably going to be Tony the Tiger.
Do you want to move on to the review for this week, Dan?
Oh, sure. What would a Serialistly podcast be without a signature review?
Yeah.
At least I can give my fingers a rest this time and actually just let my brain speak freely.
We're going to talk about... let me know if I get this name correct. I think it's Cold Stone Creamery Our Strawberry Blonde, right?
It's close. It's not quite the full name. It's Maltomeal and Cold Stone Creamery, oh Our Strawberry Blonde. I don't really know if any children will be able to say that when they ask their parents for it, but
yeah.
It's long-winded enough to make me hungry after I say it.
Maltomeal has had quite the journey. If you've been paying attention in the last 10 years, Maltomeal used to be kind of like just generic, the one that's generic and in the bag, and you have to walk funny to see it at the bottom of the... store shelves in that old commercial,
but and then they have to like the taste of plastic bag.
Yeah, and then they started just dropping their own originals. Most notably for me was Blueberry Muffin Tops, which was off the chain. I don't even think they make them anymore.
Nope,
it was delicious, but it was a blueberry Cinnamon Toast Crunch like cereal that was just among the most impressive cereals I'd ever eaten, and it was a Maltomeal original. You could only get that in the bag. And they've been bringing it lately with some really great, like, original, non-generic cereals.
It's probably because they were bought out by Post not too long ago, which may sound like it doesn't necessarily lead to better cereals, because, I won't lie, I've been knocking on Post for a while. There was a time when they would change the recipe in their honeycomb and their alphabets to save money, and got hundreds of people mad, blaming me for it, actually. So
why did they blame you?
Because I run a cereal blog, that somehow means I make all the cereals, that I'm some sort of cereal god who is omnipotent.
Sure.
But it's mostly just 50 to 60 plus year old people who think I'm destroying their childhoods, but that's usually what most 50 to 60 year olds think all the time.
Fair enough.
But whether or not it's because Post heard me throwing shade at them, but ever since the whole Honeycombs fiasco, they've been stepping their and Maltomeal's games up. Maltomeal Double Chocolate Brownie Crunch, Maltomeal French Toasters, two of my favorite cereals from the past 2 years, hands down. Both got 10 out of 10s. And now, out of left field comes this ice cream collaboration with Cold Stone Creamery. And I don't know where all these ice cream flavored cereals are coming from, but this is, I believe, the third series of ice cream cereals we've gotten within the past year.
They're big. It's a trend.
Yeah, General Mills led the trend with Cocoa Puffs ice cream scoops, and then they recently pulled out Dippin' Dot cereal, which both were admirable gestures, but I didn't really feel for either of them. But now these Maltomeal and Cold Stone Creamery cereals come out, and there was two of them. The other was Birthday Cake Remix, which had these birthday cake flavored puffs with chocolate marshmallows that I reviewed a little while back. It was pretty good, but Our Strawberry Blonde is where it's really at. Let me tell you, I've never had the real ice cream, but I feel like this cereal is a pretty loving and accurate homage to it, because it's got layers, many, many layers, and they only work together. It's one of those cereals that I like to call more than the yum of its parts, if you will. Because there's so many different pieces here. We've got these little graham squares, which are, I believe, supposed to represent the graham cracker crust that's in the real cereal. But here they're just kind of like, on their own at least, just cheaper golden grams. Like, you know, fool's gold grams, if you will.
Yes.
And then you've got strawberry puffs, of which there's just so many of them, and they're all very potently candied strawberry flavored. And then there's finally the marshmallows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, supposed to be ice cream, but they don't really do all that much. They just add general sweetness. So on their own, these parts are not that great, but together, there's just weird unifying, like, caramelized flavor to it that weaves all those ribbons of goodness together into something that's kind of actually like real ice cream. Like,
it is a strange thing that they've managed to achieve. Like, I tried some of this. It is surprisingly, like, and I think part of it is three different textures sort of working in concert to give you, like a different experience from just, like, the monotone cereal. But there is something about those three flavors come together that really is, like, sort of reminiscent, I think, in the way that the, like, ice cream scoops, for example, just, like, totally isn't.
Yeah. It's just because I don't think we've ever seen this combo before, honestly. I'm all for just weird, wacky, outlandish pairings, because how many times can you remix strawberry, chocolate, and peanut butter cereals on their own? It's been done. But graham cracker, strawberry, marshmallow, that's how you get my attention. And even if it's done wrong, I'll mark it as, you know, a significant moment in cereal history. But thankfully, this one's pretty dang good, especially in milk, to give it that real melted ice cream flavor. And the textures that you mentioned, it's not like the nuts and gum problem that we discussed more. It's more like
nuts and other nuts that are good.
Yeah, I was going to say an oral playground for your taste buds, but I really rethought that quickly.
Here in our third segment, after our news and our review, it's just going to be a little bit more freeform, kind of a anything goes. So much structure and rigidity in serial podcasting. And Dan and I have the courage to say, you know what? In the end, we're just going to talk about whatever we kind of feel like serial wise. And Dan, you have hinted at something here in the show notes that I would love to hear more about. The existence of cherry vanilla Cheerios.
I will say the former existence.
The former existence. Okay, please tell me more. I have to know.
Well, it all started when I was doing some sort of university project a little while back, where I was trying to do a timeline of all the different Cheerios releases. I tended to tie a lot of my projects into cereal, and it probably, you know, relates a lot to my unpopularity in school, but I was looking through this book that I have, this cereal guidebook, if you will, that pretty much details the history of every cereal variety and when they came out. Very handy for a purpose like this.
I think I've got that one too. What is it called? Escapes me right now.
Great American Cereal Book? That's the one. Yes. The same one. Very nice. Yeah. It's a beautiful book. I highly recommend it.
It's right above my toilet. It's a fantastic book.
But yeah, if you look at sort of the Cheerios section, they talk about how there was a time when there was different fruity-flavored Cheerio combos being released at the same time. And I'll have to check the book for the other ones, but on that list is Cherry Vanilla Cheerios, one that I never recalled seeing in stores, nor does Google recall ever seeing a box of it anywhere, for that matter. I started to wonder whether this was just an error in the writing, or perhaps someone was misremembering something, like how I just misremembered that's a real word, misremembering. So I dug deeper and did more research, because how can I claim to be a cereal expert if I don't know what year Cherry Vanilla Cheerios came out? So I looked around the web using my typical methods that I use to find new cereals, so I could dig deep through whatever sordid dark corner of the web stores cereal secrets. And all I could find was a YouTube video where someone made a fake commercial for Cherry Vanilla Cheerios around the time of their release. And it was like a weird, super low-budget affair that was kind of creepy, honestly. And I didn't know if this person was just like, I don't know, trying to present some alternate history that would then be adopted by history books, but I didn't want to stop there because in that video was also this distorted, very low quality image of the box, and that told me enough that I don't think someone whose production value was this low could actually make a convincing box like that. So I went straight to the source, after having consulted with my serial peers who also didn't know anything, and I reached out to the General Mills archive and asked them directly, and lo and behold, it did exist, but it was only released in select markets, and I managed to get a high-res box scan out of the deal, though, to know.
Nice.
My contribution to serial history, if anything, will be realizing and recognizing the proud legacy of the serial that everybody else forgot about, apparently.
But you weren't willing to let it go. Is the commercial still on YouTube? Can you still... Is it Dan's checking right now.
I'm checking right now. Oh, I found it.
What's it called?
Let me just send it over to you real quick.
Okay. Dan, this has been so pleasurable, and I hope you've enjoyed yourself, listener. At home, I hope you're feeling good, feeling relaxed. If you go to serialistly.net, you can see all of Dan's incredible pioneering work. There's lots of great reviews that you're going to want to dig back through, and we hope you'll enjoy those. I think that's going to do it for us this week, Dan, unless you have anything else you want to talk about.
I think I'm good for the moment.
Perfect. Well, thank you for joining us, and as we say at the end of every episode, don't forget to drink the milk.
There we go.
Weird, sloshy milk. The Empty Bowl is co-created by me, Justin McElroy, and Dan Gilbert. Our music was provided by Chris Zabriskie, a track titled The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow. You can find our show and support it at bowl.rest or through the Anchor app. Half the proceeds from our show will go to support food banks in Huntington, West Virginia and the surrounding area. You can find us on Twitter at Empty Bowl Show. If you enjoy our show, please share it with somebody it could help or review us on iTunes. That's really nice. Thanks. Have a good day.